Amen. Well, let's read just verse 12 again. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Now, Paul here begins this chapter by explaining to the Corinthians how and why he has preached to them in the way that he has preached to them. And it was so that their faith would not be in man or preacher, but in God. Paul wanted them to know it was God who converted them, not Paul. It was God that brought them to faith in Jesus Christ. God imparted to them a wisdom and a power that the natural, unspiritual, ungodly person does not have. God had given the Corinthians something extra, an additional dimension to their normal, natural understanding. Christians have something additional to help them go through this world to give glory to God and to fulfill the purpose of their creation. There's an extra dimension that Christians have. It's here in this chapter. There's an additional sense, which I'm calling the sixth sense. That's the title of my sermon, actually. The sixth sense. And Paul has spoken to them and started this chapter because it's very easy for newcomers to the faith to think that the speaker under whom they're converted or the author under whom they have been reading is the one who brings about this new understanding, this new dimension that believers have that the world don't have. It's natural for Christians on their conversion to give glory and to give place to the person, the author who writes or the preacher who preaches. And Paul wants the Corinthians to get rid of that idea. It's not me, it's not Cephas, it's not Paulus, it's God. And he goes on in the next chapter, right away, to rebuke them, because that's exactly what they're doing. Exactly what they're doing. It seems that many of them were attributing their conversion to Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, and Paul wants to make sure, as I said, that they must understand it was God's Holy Spirit. It's because they had this Spirit of God. God gives His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to His people. And that makes all the difference in the world. To their perception of reality. To their perception of life. To the perception of their duty. It's something they didn't really have before. Verse 12 tells us about this new perception, this sixth sense that I'm calling it, that they have. He says, now we. Now it's very important that we know who is being spoken to or written to when we're reading the Bible. So often people apply things that were said to believers to unbelievers. It's wrong to do that. We have got to know who's been addressed in order for us to fully comprehend what God is saying to us in Scripture. And so Paul is saying here, now we Christians, he's addressing his whole epistle, is those sanctified in Christ Jesus. We see that in verse 2 of chapter 1. He's writing to those who've been sanctified in Christ. They're in Christ. They're converted. They're God's children. You would know it, perhaps, sometimes. as we don't know Christians today, sometimes, from others. You wouldn't know some Christians as Christians unless they told us. And that not ought to be, but it is. God still accepts us if we're in Christ. And if we hold fast to him. So, verse 12, as we were saying, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. We've received something. That's him telling us that we Christians, we've got something we didn't have before. God's spirit. Christ's heart within us. And the result is that we know things that we didn't know before. And what it is that we receive is the Spirit of God. It's actually getting back what mankind, what Adam lost in the fall. We're getting back what Adam lost in the fall. It's restoring us back to where Adam was before the fall, and even greater. Adam's status, his station, was losable. The life he had, the condition he was in could change. He was mutable. But if you're in Christ, you're in Christ forever. It's an unlosable life we have in Christ. Wonderful. Isn't it? Wonderful. Christians have this perception. Paul calls it the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He said that to the Ephesians when they were converted. They were pagans. They had not even the basic teachings of the Jewish, that Jews had, of God's nature and God's mercy and love and all the different things he revealed to the Israelites. They had nothing of that. But when Paul came and brought the gospel, whoever it was that brought it to them, then they were changed and they got blessing. The eyes were enlightened. They saw things they didn't see before. And as a Christian, we see things, we're seen in a reality that we didn't see it before. Because now we're paying attention. Whereas before we didn't. Now we're paying attention. Because we know it's important to listen to God, to listen to reality. Our eyes have been opened by God. Now Paul says two very serious things in verse 14. Very sobering things. He says that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. The natural person, the normal, common person, fallen in Adam. He doesn't accept it when he's offered, when he's shown it, when it's presented to him. Doesn't take it. He rejects it. Doesn't accept it. That's what verse 14 tells us. But then, in verse 14 he continues, and he said he's not able. He's not able to understand them. That's because he hasn't the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God to accept Christ, to accept wisdom, to believe, and to love the Lord. Verse 14 says, we're not able to understand, the people aren't able to understand, because this new view of reality is discerned in a spiritual way, something which natural people cannot do because they don't have the Spirit of God. And you have to have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, this new heart, to be able to understand things in a spiritual way, in a really significant, meaningful way. just as God perceives it, we can see as God perceives and as Christ perceives it. In fact, that's what Paul says in verse 16, that all Christians have received the Spirit of God, which he calls, it's the mind of Christ. We've got the mind of Christ. A Christian now thinks the way Christ thinks. In some degree, of course, not fully as Christ does, because we haven't got the full measure. But we have a measure of Christ's mind, of Christ's heart, of Christ's desires. Now, wonderful. You didn't bring that with you into the world. You got it through God's love for you. His Spirit coming upon you. And as a result, you have a new understanding. You have a new understanding. And that's what mankind needs. That's what our leaders of our country need. It's the thing that Solomon, good old Solomon, knew that he needed. And when he came into office, when he became king, listen to his prayer. Listen to his prayer. This is how he prayed. O Lord, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind. Because I'm now the king, give your servant, he's to serve God, you see, as a governor. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. That I might discern between good and evil. That's our big problem. That's the big problem of the fall. Having lost contact with God, the Spirit of God, having lost communion with God, our visions became distorted, our vision has become distorted, and we can't tell right from wrong. And we're now in a situation where we're legislating because we think it's good, we think it's right, in the very opposite direction of which God has instructed us. The Apostle John gives us the same, tells us the same thing, that this Spirit of God gives us a new understanding of life, understanding of reality, understanding of truth. What's important and what's not important. What's significant and not. What's trivia. John describes it, know that the Son of God has come. We know that the Son of God has come. We know he's come because he's given us an understanding so that we may know him who is true. Now, John is emphasizing it there that it's not just simply knowing a doctrine. You have to know a person. You have to know Jesus. And it's not just to know about Jesus. It's to know Jesus personally. You can know about Rishi Sunak. If you see him in a crowd, you know him and you can know about him. And if you pass him in the street, would he stop to speak to you because he knew you? Would you have something to say as part of a relationship that you have had with him? Jesus Christ. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus personally. There's things to say to him when you meet him. Things to talk about, to discuss, and so on. We need to know Jesus Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, people with this new dimension, with this new understanding, we're told they've been freely given things by God. The Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. What are those things that we have been freely given that the world haven't? Well, one of the things, as we said, as we just mentioned about Solomon, he wanted to be able to discern between good and evil. And that's a gift that God has given to every Christian. you should be able to discern what's good and what's evil. What has God said is good? What has God said that's not good? This discernment of what is good and what is evil. Well, one of the first things, I think, that Christians become aware of is that awareness and consciousness of God's presence and of how good He has dealt with us. How good God has been to us. How kind and merciful He has been. How well off we are compared to others. And what makes the difference? Why are you well off and others not? Because of God. God's love. God's mercy to you. To me. If I'm wanting something, I'm wanting a book, I just get it. I can get it. If I want to go to bed, if I'm feeling tired, I just go. I want to put the heater on, I put it on. How many are there who do not have that luxury? Not so much in the Western world, but I can assure you that I can't remember what percentage it is of people who are out in the cold in the whole world. But when God's Spirit comes into our hearts, we become conscious how much God is involved in our lives. What a part He plays. Where we are. How we are. The health we have. And so on. How well off we are. How good God has been. See, the world don't think like that. The world don't wake up in the morning and say, well, how well off I am. It's only because someone realises their dependence on God. How the very breath that we take is dependent on God's goodness and providing us that breath. The world don't realise it, but when God's Spirit comes to us, we begin to realise He is. Those who come to God must believe that He is. That is, that He exists. That He's there everywhere. In every circumstance, God is. Non-believers are blind to God's daily goodness and the humdrum regular blessings of life. They're not thankful to God because they don't see God. They don't know God. They don't believe God is behind all the good things they have. A Christian does. When you have the Spirit of God, you realize, this is so enjoyable. This is so lovely. Lord, blessed be Your name. That's because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. Spirit of God is coming to us. And we realize that He is. When the Spirit of God comes into us, we get a new view of, well, everything. Everything. Especially a new view of God. A new view of Christ. A new view of sin. A new view of Satan. A new view of hell. And a new view of heaven. Heaven's now our goal. That's where we're going. That's where we're driving to. That's where we're wanting to end up. Wasn't our goal before. New thoughts of God. New thoughts of Christ. New thoughts of sin, Satan, hell and heaven. In a way that unbelievers do not conceive of. Now, unbelievers may have a huge amount of knowledge about many things. And all these things, they might have knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ, knowledge of sin and Satan, and so on. But it has not affected them to the extent that it's changed their lives, that it's altered their behavior. It hasn't affected them to that extent when the Spirit of God comes into your heart. Changes you. Maybe a very small way, but it changes you in a small way. Whereas before, it didn't. It's altered your way of life. It's altered your priorities, your choices, the things you choose and the things you don't choose. The Spirit of God guides you. It leads you. Before it didn't. I read this week from a philosopher, actually, it was on the iPhone. Just a flash from a philosopher. Life, he said, he was quite right in this. Life, he said, it's not about chances. It's about choices. He's right. Life is not just about the chances and opportunities it's offered to us, although it is to some degree. The big thing is not about it, it's about the choice that we make of all that is offered to us. Are we going to listen to God's offers or to the world's? Makes a difference. Life's about our choices. And having the Spirit of God alters our choices. We make different choices. We say no to some things before we'd say yes. And we say yes to some things which before we would say no. Well, we'll leave it there. Have and do you and do I have the Spirit of God? Do we listen to God when He speaks to us? We are so privileged that we thank God for the privilege that we have living where we are and in the homes that we have, but in the gospel culture that we're in, where there's that love and affection for one another. Well, let's turn to prayer, and let's pray, of course, that we will have this new understanding.